Three, two, one, go!
You're listening to another Woodshop podcast, the okayest podcast of its type. Your hosts are Daniel Dunlap of Daniel Dunlap Woodworks and Peter Kapar of Bee Trees Workshop. You can find them as well as the podcast on your favorite social media platforms.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 194 of Another Woodshop Podcast, where this week we have a surprise guest. Dan lost 10 pounds, so we decided to add some dead weight just to keep it consistent. He's my childhood friend and Dan's second wife, and most known for being the voice of the mom on Bluey, and a co-host of an internet-based AI-generated AOL chat room. He's the one that got away, and one of my favorite humans. Brayden Bokes is here!
Ayo! I love Bluey so much.
Dan, you okay? I can't catch my breath. I don't think Dan was ready.
These intros are always a surprise to me. That might be your best ever.
That one got you? Fantastic. All right, good. I'm glad it got you.
I somehow had no idea where that was going to go, and yet knew exactly where it was going to take me emotionally.
Well, guys, it is actually a big episode because this is our 4-year anniversary of recording ballpark because, you know, calendars and stuff.
Yeah.
Mayans. Am I right? Those guys make good calendars.
The Romans, actually.
And the economy. Am I right? Yeah. Biden.
Thanks, I don't know.
Yeah. And that guy. He's still in office. All right. But guys, it's been 4 crazy wild years that we've been doing this. For some reason, my Discord's making sounds. I apologize. But we thought, what better way to celebrate than to just bring a random nobody on? So I literally called Brayden like 20 minutes before the pre-show. I love you, Brayden. You know I do. And I was like, hey, I am super tired and I want to just do no work today and I just want to have fun. Can you be on? And he was like, I'm with my daughter at the store. I'm like, in 20 minutes? He's like, I'm in my car already. So, you know, she might still be at the store. So I appreciate you joining us.
He's recording and it's also from the chip aisle at Albertsons.
Yeah. And it was also a surprise for Dan. Surprised? This was, you happy?
Was this supposed to be like a happy surprise or?
I don't. This is like me pulling something out of left field and being like, you won't mind.
we need
I'm
to
what's
talk.
Behind door number 3.
You know who's behind door number 1, Dan?
Dude, you forgot to.
Oh, I forgot to mention. Yeah, so we're gonna Brayden. We're gonna stall. We're not gonna stall.
We'll come back to that.
Because Dan definitely has the patrons all pulled up.
I teed that one up for you.
I know. I mean, the transitions never make any sense, but Dan still misses the mark.
I
don't know
who's Mark.
The good news is this probably isn't being done live, so
but it might as well be because we don't edit anything out.
Fix it in post.
See, I just cursed, and that wasn't edited.
Hey.
Dan?
Do another segue transition thingy.
Speaking of segues and transitions, Dan.
Let's talk about our patrons, shall we? Man, wow. That was as smooth as they get.
Wow, folks. I'm lobbing medicine balls to a kickballer. I don't know.
This is hard to be a part of.
Yo. We want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons. You really help us keep the lights on over here. You help us keep this thing going. You've helped us for 4 years.
Wow.
4 years. And I'd like to believe down in my heart of hearts that it's been the same people the whole 4 years. But I realize, you know, it probably bounces around a little bit.
There's still
some people
listening.
Are probably
like,
oh,
geez.
Oh, what is this? Why do I even support this? And then some people are like, hey, this is actually pretty good. I'm going to support it more. I'm rambling.
Something just hit me.
What's
Dan.
That?
I used to listen to what's the one with Spagnuolo? Wood talk. Why am I blanking on her name?
Wood show.
Wood chats.
So I used to listen. I blanked on her name. I don't know why. I apologize. But I used to listen to that all the time. And like listen, I would listen backwards, and then I got caught up, and I started going.
Like
the other way,
fully backwards. Where the
in reverse, back to like back in time,
like
basically
backwards.
And it got to the point where like Emma knew about the show and knew what was happening and blah blah blah. And I'm like, wow, are we at that point now? Like it's been 4 years, almost 200 episodes. There's probably people that like listen to all of them and
Thank you, those poor people. I apologize.
And those poor, poor, like, significant others who had to listen to this for 4 years.
Anyway, back to those poor, poor people.
Patrons.
Huge thank you to our patrons. We couldn't do this without you. And another week where I mentioned the VIPs, and we want to give those folks a special shout-out as well. So they are, in no particular order, other than the order that's on my screen, Scotty Hahn with Elevated Wood Design, Charlie Coons from Stubby Case Studio, Justin Frazier from Frazier Canyon Woodworks, Jesse McIntyre from Sage Hill Woodcraft, Gillette Woodworks, Victor Aragama, Nick Brim from Nick Brim Woodworking.
He brought back Nick Brim Classic.
Yes. Matt Maynard of Patriotic Pines. That's the shirt Pete is wearing.
This is a shirt I'm wearing. And the Patriotic Pines underwear to match.
He never gave me the undies. What the heck? Bill Burkle from WTB Woodworking. Malcolm over at Bossa Nova Woodworks. Justin from Calvary Customs. Braden's wearing the Malcolm shirt. I should be wearing a Justin from Calvary Customs shirt, but I'm not.
You should be.
Patrick Gensel. Scott Shirk of Red Lake Custom Woodworks. Max and Mindy Coons from Stubby K Studio. Justin Bailey from Campfire Studio or Woodworks.
Now on Amazon.
Campfire Woodworks. Not Studio. Why did I say Studio? I don't know.
Campfire Soul Stove.
Yeah, Justin's got... He's like,
officially on Amazon.
He's an Amazonian. Amazonian?
He's an Amazon. Yeah.
Anyway. Big shout out to all of our patrons. We appreciate you long time. If you want to join the Met Army, as we lovingly call it, you can go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast and get joined up on one of our many tiers over there. We provide extra content and all sorts of things, I think.
And if you're shedding tears over remembering that long link that Dan just said, well, guess what? It's in the show notes, so you can click away.
Every week it's in the show notes, baby.
Every week.
Look, I think I mentioned this last week, but Pete puts a lot of effort into those show notes, so go check them out. Click the links.
Wow, you're really overselling it, but okay.
Is there a way to get like an affiliate code for like VIP patrons that I sign up? Like a almost like a not a pyramid, but
I'll buy you a beer at Maker Camp.
I'll take
and
that
it'll
deal.
Be a total boat cup of beer.
I'll take that deal.
Yeah, I'll take that action.
That's a good deal.
Actually, I'm a little sour because I had negotiated my rate and then plus one drink for teaching at Maker U. And I did not get that drink at WorkbenchCon. So
I want to hear more about lawyers. Maker U whenever we get around to
We'll get to it.
What's that segment we do? It's
what's up, my bro?
Yeah, what's on my internet?
Yeah, it's that. Something like that. I want to hear more about that.
Well, we're definitely not going to do an interview because Ray.
Yeah, I was just going to ask that. I mean,
he's been on here. No, he's just a guy. We're just BSing.
Yeah, who the hell are you? But we already know, so don't talk.
Dan needs just to catch you guys up on what's happening. Dan needs a boost to get into his new truck. Braden has a big package.
What?
Coming in the mail.
Oh.
I taught a class and I cut down a tree. So that's our week.
Mm.
So next week our guest is
is the show over?
That's it. Yeah, thanks for signing up.
Okay.
If you want to join us and support us on Patreon?
I skipped out on figuring out what the heck I was going to eat for dinner to be here. I'm getting the experience. I will be interviewed. I will be gazed at lovingly. I will be roasted.
Okay.
We've got at
you're least, charred at this point. Have you heard my intro?
We've got at least five.
We already did the roasting.
That was the roast? Almost, that's all you got.
I originally was going to say that you were the voice of Thomas the Tank Engine, who is silent. I should have gone with that. But the mom from Bluey, I feel like she can get it, right? Am I right?
I mean, she's not the mom from The Incredibles.
Yeah. Oh.
Just saying.
Both. Smash.
Listen,
yeah, waifu right there.
Looking at like watching Pixar movies as an adult, things become clear. Like the curtain is pulled back and what made us the way that we are.
Pixar.
You ready? The mom from Dexter's Laboratory.
Thick.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen yacht now. I've never seen that.
Did you guys not know this?
Oh. I've never seen that. Yeah.
No cap.
Well, no, but
she doesn't wear a hat.
Gyat is that. You don't say thick, you say gyat.
Gyat damn?
Because it's, you don't say the other part, because that's for old
people. It's inferred.
Yeah. She catching W's.
I've never seen Dexter's. It wasn't that like a murdery show on HBO?
No.
We're talking
Dexter. He had a lab in his wall, and
we're talking Cartoon Dexter. Network.
Yeah.
Cartoon Network. They made that show into a cartoon?
Yes.
I am really confused.
It was called Death Note. Look it up.
I can't tell if he's being serious or not.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look up Death Note. That's the
you want me to do it now anime. While we're recording a podcast?
Sure. I mean, I have to interview this bozo.
No, it was really Dexter's Lab was really fun because that was kind of like the start of like that blue waffle craze. Like back in the, late 90s.
Yeah.
I know about that.
No, you don't.
They had that at Shoney's. It was really good. It was like a blueberry.
Speaking of blueberries, what's going on, guys? How's your week?
it's been a week. It's been a thing.
God, what? It's just pulling teeth all day today, isn't it?
Yeah. Are we doing what's on our bench? Is that what we're doing? Are we?
I mean, we could be. I'm just kind of shooting.
I think Brayden really wants you to interview him.
All right. Well, Brayden, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you joining. I do, despite my monotone voice. What's your favorite wood to work with?
Listen, I think I'm kind of out of left field on this one because everybody kind of likes the same types of wood. I, on the other hand, am not like other girls.
We know.
I like working with walnut.
We know. Especially free walnut that's sitting in your shop.
You should move to New York because you're unique.
Unique.
New York. If you had to make one thing forever, what would it be?
Zero clearance inserts.
Oh, really? Okay. Not hats? Not hats?
Not hats.
Of all things.
I really got out of hand with that hat thing.
You did.
That was... I kind of blacked out quickly.
Yeah. Did we do okay? I blacked out. It was a little out of control. I do have my Fresh Prince of Bel-Air hat, though, and I'm very happy with it. So I appreciate that.
I can't find mine. I don't know where it went. I think somebody came in here and specifically stole that one hat.
I just have my two hats. That's it. Just the two.
Your two dads?
Yes, I have two dads. Supreme.
That was a show back in the 80s, My Two Dads.
Are you talking about Two and a Half Men?
No, My Two Dads.
In the 80s?
Yeah.
Are you just talking about like home videos or what?
What?
You got
what?
Come on.
What network was that on?
Come on. Like one of the big three. I mean, it was a very popular like.
What were the other two, Dan?
Where's Emma? We need a fact check.
ABC, NBC, and CBS.
Oh, I thought you meant like three shows because that's all that was on TV back then.
Three
in black and white
channels. Come on.
Oh, dang. All right. No, he's right. It's a real thing. It looks like Two and a Half Men, but from the 80s.
Yeah.
Did it get canceled? I bet you got canceled.
We probably did because the kid isn't.
The kid's like 35 now.
It's a girl.
The kid's a girl now. What? Wow.
I think one of the actors was Paul Reiser.
Is that? I thought you were going to say Paul Rudd. It's Paul Rudd and Ryan Reynolds.
Paul Reiser, Greg Evigan, and Stacey Keenan.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
See?
Wow,
my memory is good for some things.
Nobody,
nothing useful though. I'll tell you what.
Wow,
my two dads.
But you still measure twice, walk over to the chop saw, and go. Actually, I forgot that.
It also had a Dick Butkus in it.
Richard Kisserson.
I mean, that's a real thing. Dick Butkus was in the show.
Wow,
he's a real man.
Must have been.
He's a real guy.
Must be real exciting. Okay, well, in all honesty, though, if you guys don't know who Brayden is, he was on a couple of months ago. Months ago, right? Something like that.
It was right after Maker Camp.
One of the Oma Bros from Omaha. So he's actually Dan's friend, my good friend, too, now. He's actually somebody I referenced like last week or 2 weeks. No, it was last week when we did the recap episode. And I was like, Dan brought some bozo to WorkBenchCon last year.
Well, I didn't bring him. I mean, he's our
family.
He's an adult. He came by himself.
But it was like... He's like, hey, this guy Brayden's coming with me. I'm like, I don't care, whatever. And now, like, we're all besties.
Oh, so, yeah, like the year before. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or year before, whenever it was, whenever you brought him out.
The year before.
The year of our Lord.
I met Braden. When did I meet you, Braden?
Was it at Cheeks? Strip club?
It was Cheeks? It was the third moon cycle of the waning sun.
No, Dan was definitely on a cycle.
something Aquarius.
In the age of Aquarius?
Mercury.
I'm a Gemini.
Mercury was in the microwave.
Wow, we can never have him as a guest again. This is just, our episodes are off the rails.
I'm really, really trying to think about when
Dan and I met in June of 2022 because I had decided, you know what? Cars are too expensive. I'm going to get into working with wood, and everything got expensive. But I knew what I needed to make my tool better was a zero clearance insert.
Oh yeah, this is accurate.
Did you pick it up locally?
He did.
I typed it into Google, and it showed up, and he was the
numero the uno
listing on Etsy. And
he had a business profile that just said the insert king of Sarpy County.
And I thought, I'm going to meet that man. No, but I saw that shipping from Bellevue, Nebraska, which is right next to where I grew up and is, you know, adjacent to Omaha. And so I just reached out to him and said, hey, can I save you shipping costs and me shipping costs and just come pick this up? And he said, stranger from the internet, come on over, bring beer.
Yeah, that's true. True
that's
story.
The most true statement you could say that I 100% believe that part of it.
And then we drank all the beer.
I brought a 30 pack of Busch Light and we proceeded to stand in his shop and drink the entire case over
30
5 hours.
Case in one sitting.
A 30 rack. Well, I mean, it's Busch Light. It's pretty much Nebraska water.
Fact. Oh, and you make fun of me for seltzer. It's basically fact. Seltzer.
And then from that point, I was like, hey, have you heard of Maker Camp? It's in the woods in upstate New York. You should go with me. And he's like, we just met and this is a little awkward.
Well,
but then I talked him into going to Workbench Con the following February, and he did that.
I saw you hop up in a truck, and I wasn't that worried anymore.
We haven't even made it.
Talk about a running start.
Okay.
All right. Well, they're besties, and I'm just a nobody. That's
Anyway,
I'm somebody.
I remember I first laid eyes on Pete at Hop Burger at Workbench Con 2023.
Was it?
Yeah.
Hot Burger?
Hop Burger. There? Yeah, it was the first night prior to, it was like Wednesday.
We didn't meet at like, what's that one? Miguel's? Murph's?
No,
that one?
It was Hop Burger.
We didn't meet at Murph's?
Nope. Huh. We didn't have enough chairs, and so everybody was like in a little pod area. That's also where I met like Justin Bailey and other people.
Justin Bailey. Yeah. My brother from another mother.
Yay.
Yeah.
Thanks for Justin Bailey. Memories.
We'll dedicate this episode to Justin Bailey.
Why?
R.I.P.
Why though?
God rest his soul.
Rest in peace.
We lost him. When did we lose him?
He's dead to me. Oh. Anyways,
what's up, my bitch?
Why don't we get into what's on the bench?
We're gonna otherwise, a train wreck.
If we just like ramble, we're gonna ramble for hours.
And we can ramble. We can ramble.
Dan, Braden, Peter. Braden, what's on your bench?
God.
I like it. You guys just paused for that. You were just waiting to see what would happen. What's on your bench, bud?
I have... Okay, so I'm getting into the mindset. I have decided that this year is built around the word deliberate. And so I'm going to be more deliberate.
Deliverance?
That's Deliverance.
A weird show from the 70s. Movie.
Is that the one with the two dads?
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm trying to be more deliberate with my business. And the reason that I'm bringing any of this up is spring craft fair season is about to like kick off. And I'm signing up for a bunch of spring craft fairs, not because I think spring craft fairs are great, but because they will hold my fall spot at the big craft fairs.
True.
And so I have a bunch of whiskey smokers sitting on my bench. I've been pumping through those. And then I've been lasering any material I can get my freaking hands on. So thank you, MakerStock, for the dope little packs that were in the Workbench Con.
How awesome is that, right? Oh, my God. And I went over to their booth, and they gave me, like, another stack of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was in there. I'm going to have to go through my bag again.
Wait, you don't know there's the laser samples in there?
I haven't even gone through the bag yet. I just, Dan, I put it down in my shop and I'm like, I'll get to that sooner or later.
No, Dan, immediately, like right now, go. Open up that bag.
We're doing a...
All right, fine. You can do tomorrow. But okay. No, it's got all the different materials and you can do sample cuts with all of them. Oh. You can see how they'll handle.
Is there any clear acrylic in there? Because I wasted a lot of clear acrylic. I cannot talk. I wasted a lot of clear acrylic trying to figure out how to dial in the settings to make it cut cleanly for my templates.
Did you run a material test?
I don't know what that is.
Dan, right. I'm going to teach you a little lesson.
Oh, now. Please do.
You ready?
Yeah.
There is two types of acrylic. There's cast acrylic, and then there's extruded acrylic.
I knew that.
So cast basically gets poured on a sheet. That's the kind that cuts the best. Extruded engraves the best.
Ah.
So if you're ever buying it, you want to specifically
I've always bought cast.
Okay. Attaboy. So.
Okay. Okay.
There you go.
Well, there's
now you know. Now you know something you already knew. Good job.
There's also that third type of acrylic. Outcast paint? Acrylic.
Outcast acrylic. Yeah. Uh-oh. And Dan, if you want, maybe take me up on the offer of, like, we do a little light burn lesson.
Well, you've been busy. I've been busy. You know how it goes.
Don't give me that. But I can show you how to do a material test where you can do cuts or engravings. So,
okay,
you know.
Yeah, there's a lot to light burn I still need to learn. And I feel like...
It does a grid for you. It'll literally be, like, speed on one and then power on the other. And then you see where, like, it looks the best. Like that. Oh. Look at that honky.
Look at that.
and the samples are the perfect size to run.
They did that on purpose. Yeah.
Interesting. It's like they knew that.
Mm-hmm. Like
but once that. Once I got one, I know my settings because I'm a laser boy. I'm perfect.
Get out of here.
I started just chopping out earrings and all sorts of stuff that I'm just gonna throw in some cheap packaging.
You have a laser. Why are you chopping it though?
I remember going through my earring stage. I thought I was going to make tens of dollars.
I was going to say, I'm only doing it because I remember you doing it. And I'm like, well, Pete doesn't do stupid stuff.
I think Emma said it to you where like they're very tedious to put together.
Yeah.
So that's the only downside of earrings. And then, you know, like, they're fun to do either way.
Yeah. Turns out.
Oh, you got the same one. Same kit.
My fingers are large and none of this stuff is meant for man hands.
So did it come with pliers? Cool. And did it come with a ring?
Yeah, I don't know how to work the ring. What is the ring?
Get the Johnny blank ring.
The one ring to rule them all?
You put the ring on, and basically, it's got a slit on it. Okay. You see it?
That one?
Yeah, this is an audio podcast. You guys are doing a lot of visual things.
So, okay, so I'll explain it in words.
Please.
There's a ring that comes with a lot of ring kits, or earring kits, that has, like, long slits on it along the
you had me at long slits.
Whatever. Basically, what you do is when you're holding the piece with pliers or something, you take your ring and you actually twist to close that loop up. So you twist, use the ring as the part that's like flat to hold the piece together. Instead of using two sets of pliers, you use the ring, the one ring to close the other rings.
Okay, so you open it with the pliers.
You can open it with both, or you can do it with both. But then when you're holding it with pliers and you put the actual thing on, whatever the actual earring is, you use the ring to twist it back into place. Use two sets of pliers, but it's just cheaper to do a ring, and the ring actually works really well.
All right.
Twist it.
Pop it.
Flick it.
Nope. Okay. That didn't work. I'll figure it out later.
Well, you'll figure it out later.
Cool.
But anyways, what else are you working on? You making earrings?
Doing some earrings. I've got a couple of larger... Industrial is not the right word, but like production type jobs that I'm really trying to get into. So like corporate branding, corporate jobs, that's what I'm trying to do. So some corporate branding stuff, some bulk stuff, maybe some like small scale manufacturing, like bulk production stuff. So I've got a couple of different jobs. What's that?
I said, stay in your lane.
I got my own things. I got my own things I'm working on. Don't worry. You can have the cactuses and the ice hooks.
Thanks.
And then also, I was talking to TJ, one of the co-hosts on Sawdust Talk, the audio live experience on Instagram. and he and I were kicking around yesterday that I really should be hitting up a bunch of like microbreweries and trying to get into their little swag areas, because everybody loves alcohol, because if you buy alcohol, but you buy swag with it, it's a hobby. It's not a problem.
Oh, is that what I've been doing wrong all these years?
Yeah, you just don't have enough hats. That's
why when you collect cans, it's less of a drinking problem. It's more of a hobby.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay. So, yeah, noted. Interesting.
So that's kind of what I've been doing. I'm throwing a lot of stuff at the wall right now that is, if it takes off enough, can be scalable, because I'm not making one more face grain cutting board this year. Like, not a single one. I'm so sick and tired of them. I can't get what I want out of them for my time at like craft fairs. And so I'm just going to let all of the other, you know, woodworkers that come to these craft fairs and only have cutting boards, they can have it.
Wow. Way to just put everyone on blast.
On blast. Fight me IRL.
I'm going to clip that. It just Braden going, I'm better than all of you.
That's basically what he said.
Braden 2024.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that. That's fine.
So are you working by any chance on any like cedar based projects?
Yeah, actually. How coincidental that you bring that up. I did just quote out this week I quote out like 250 square feet of cedar planters to an old coworker that essentially was like, this is what I want. Tell me what it takes to make this happen. And so I came up with a quote, and cedar, even if you're doing fence pickets, like cedar just adds up quick.
Yes.
It's not cheap anymore. Like, yeah, it's not a cheap wood.
I originally in my head was doing it based on like the $2 fence pickets. They're up to like four.
Whoa.
And that's, yeah. And that's after the 11% Menards discount. Saves more money at Menards.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, so I sent her a quote thinking, man, who's, you know, this seems really high. I don't know if this is going to go well, because I still have imposter syndrome. And she's like, cool. How soon can you get them done? I was like,
how are you joining them? Like, what are you thinking? Are you thinking of just like screws from the outside, pocket hole screws?
Flex seal. You're welcome.
Dovetail joints.
I was going to do hand cut dovetail joints.
No, like an actual serious question. Like, so what are you thinking for joinery?
So what I've done for joinery on stuff like that in the past is honestly just a lot of wood glue. And like I'll use Titebond 3 for the water resistance. And then I'll just pin nail them from the back. And it seems to hold up on these, since it's not at my house. I'll probably use some some deck screws or something like that from the back to hide all the, you know, the holes and stuff.
Nice. Well, the only reason I'm asking is because I discovered this last year when I forgot what I was doing for outside, but Craig makes outdoor rated screws as well. And they have, I don't know if it's a separate jig or you just set it up differently to set for like, you could do like posts, like big posts, and the screws are like 3 or 4 inches long. So like you drive them in there. And that's actually not a bad way to join stuff for outside. It's pretty damn nice.
Are those those blue screws?
I forget the color.
They're blue. I don't know if they're blue. Outdoor ones are blue.
Are they blue? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're blue.
I've used them before, but cedar's just so soft that trying to get the planks, and like they're, it's not,
and the planks are not thick. Yeah.
Honestly, if you get real baller, just pre-drill a hole and like, and then put like plugs in them. Look real nice. Again, I'm over-engineering this.
Yeah.
Walnut plugs on cedar.
That would look good.
That'd be so classy.
Chef's piss.
But yeah. Geez. Let's be honest. End of the day, I'm probably going to use Home Depot pine 2x4s. Ground rated so that the poison soaks into the garden.
Oh, yeah. That's the way to do it.
Perfect. You can get the cedar tone ground rated or the chemically soaked. So it looks better, at least. Before they die from chemical exposure.
Yeah, the chemical stuff just tastes like any food you'd buy at Menards anyway, so it's fine.
It's like adding built-in cayenne pepper to your vegetable garden. Just adds a little spice.
Yeah.
Nice. Anything else?
That's kind of it. I'm just trying to figure out how to make as much stuff it at volume as possible because, you know, nobody does that. I'm trying to find a niche.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do stuff at volume. Not. That's definitely the way to go from what I understand.
Yep.
I want to do that because I'm worried about... So, Dan, obviously you're on Etsy.
Am I?
If nobody else has heard, Dan's on Etsy.
Oh.
But yeah. I keep seeing more stories. Who was it a couple weeks ago whose Etsy store got shut down again, just like out of the blue?
My buddy Jake got shut down.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere.
I mean, those stories seem like they're coming more and more frequently, which... My 29 sales on Etsy, you know, it's a big deal, big part of my business. But I just kind of feel like focusing on Etsy, if you don't already have an established business on there, it just feels like setting yourself up kind of for failure.
It's tough. I'm not going to.
I think you're being a little short-sighted with that, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, I agree with him. It's tough to get a foot in the door, but once you do, it's a pretty... It can be a very lucrative thing. I mean, coming from experience.
Don't get me wrong. I'm still loading stuff on Etsy and I still sell stuff on Etsy, but making that like the cornerstone of a business when I'm starting from scratch, if I can build it up over somewhere else, that to me, that just seems like a long, long down the road kind of protection.
No, it's definitely good to have options.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny you guys mentioned that. I talked about that in my class this week.
What class?
When I taught. But
you taught a class.
What'd you,
later.
Yeah, what'd you do this week?
Talk about it later. Oh.
What's on your bench?
Are you throwing it to me? Oh, there it is. Okay. Now I officially threw it to me. So funny you mentioned that, Brayden. Because one of the things I worked on is I taught a class for the Maker Collab University. If you guys don't know what that is, actually check it out. It's pretty cool. Because it's a maker-made and maker-designed... and very maker-centric online education class. So there's live classes. Everything gets recorded. You have access to it if you're a member. I think it's like $10 a month or something like that. And if you sign up and then get other people to sign up, they have an affiliate thing as well, which is pretty cool. So definitely pyramid scheme. Brandon's like pyramid scheme. But check it out. There's some really cool stuff. Like they had Tom Silva and his daughter on a couple of weeks ago. They had Alex Snodgrass come teach a bandsaw class. Like, they had me on? What the?
They had you after Alex Snodgrass and Tom Silva?
Yeah.
Whoa. You to them are what I am to you guys right now.
I think they were resetting expectations.
Tom Silva is a hero of mine.
Those you know what? Hot take, since Brayden's doing it. Tom Silva, awesome. Grew up watching him.
Yeah.
Real good dude. I owe him a lot. Him and his daughter together.
Hilarious.
Effing hilarious.
Hilarious.
Oh my God. Yeah, that duo, I'm all about it. Oh. I want to see more of that. Yeah, no, yeah.
I think her name is Kate.
She's,
yeah.
Yeah, she's bringing that account to like a whole new level, and I love every second of it. I'm glad that he's like all about it too. He's just in it. Or she just tells him, like, shut up, dad, just say the words and records it. You know? So like I appreciate them so much for that because I think it's hilarious what they're doing. But yeah, so I was on iClass. It's supposed to be an hour class and then like an hour, you know, Q&A. It was an hour and 15 class and then like a 40 minute Q&A. It was a lot of fun. I had some really good feedback. I listen to our podcast.
Why?
Or I hear Emma playing it because I hate myself. And I say a lot. And I'm going to people are going to like listen for it now. So I say I'm a lot and I'm really trying to be better about speaking and teaching. Cause like I love teaching. I've been teaching for a long time and I want to be able to keep teaching it, but I cannot listen to myself afterwards because all the ums and pauses, whatever. So, I was very much trying to like not say, and I was overthinking everything about the class, but within like 2 minutes got into my flow and it felt a lot of like really nice, really fun. The problem is you're not getting feedback. It's not like when we chat, Dan,
right.
And you know, you're not getting anything back. And at least this time there'd be pauses and people would ask questions. Like they would just raise their hand, use a little raise hand feature in Zoom. And we would like pause. They would ask a question. I could actually drink some water. When I taught the class like a year ago or 2 years ago. Yeah. Like that, Brayden. When I taught that class, that was just me talking at the camera, and I was like parched. It was so hard, man. It was really hard. But this time around, again, it was still kind of hard. But the nice thing was, without even asking her, Emma sat down at the computer next to me, and she started moderating the chat. So when people ask questions, she answered the questions. And it was like, it was awesome. It was like so nice. Even Nick was like, this is great. This is awesome. Like that you guys did that, you know, he wasn't expecting it. So it's really nice to have her as a backup. It's been pretty cool. And hopefully if you're listening to this and you watch the class, please let me know how it went. Give me some feedback. Nick said it was good, but he could just be lying to be nice. And I appreciate him for it because I need to hear that. But it was good. You know, we just like, so we all know that's the stuff, right? But I gave him some of the behind the scenes stuff. I showed him my numbers because I'm just like, I don't care. Like, look at the numbers. Look at what's possible. You know, you could be making $100 a week. You could be making $1,000 a week or more. So there's a lot of potential there. And Dan, I used you as an example a bunch of times. Oof. Actually, I said Dan probably a dozen times in that class. Yeah, because I was like, don't be like Dan. Don't do Dan. Remember, yeah. Don't be a Dan, everyone.
Okay, I could see
like,
that.
At one point,
okay.
I was like, hey, everyone. And then
don't do this.
Said, don't be a Dan. And, you know, it's like, it was great. No, but I actually use you as a good example for a lot of the stuff. I talked about like how much work you're putting into it and as your full-time job and you're paying your bills. You know, you're paying for a new truck.
Well,
with your Etsy shop.
Somebody's paying for a new truck. Yeah. I don't know if it's me.
Going into a pool. And
it's getting written off. It's a write-off. The write-off people. Write-off. The write-off people will take care of it.
Exactly. So taught the class, had a lot of fun, got good feedback, very happy with it. They actually asked me to maybe do something in the future. That's fun. I got asked to be on another podcast that kind of came out of left field that we're not 100% in that niche. And I'll talk about it more when it actually happens. It's a making podcast, but it is not woodworking, not CNC, not lasers, not 3D printing.
Sewing.
It's a... sure.
Oh, was it a Think About Knit, the crocheting podcast?
is that a thing? I don't know now.
It's going to be a thing.
I'm kind of curious. It's going to be a thing now. We're starting it, Dan. We're doing it. But anyways, I guess I asked to be on a podcast, so I got to figure that out. We're also getting all the follow-ups back from the follow-ups from WorkbenchCon to all the brands. So that's been fun. We kind of...
Thank you for the reminder.
Yeah, so there's like, you did know, you send, whoever's not, what's up?
Dan, did you send your emails?
I have not. Oh, Dan. Dan will send them by next year.
You know.
You know, we reached out to a couple places, and we finally got some responses back. I got some quotes. I actually started talking with MakerStock about delivering some stuff. Delivery is expensive for when you're trying to get pallets of wood from them. But I might drive over them. They're only about an hour and a half away. So I might actually grab the trailer and just grab Emma one day next week and just drive over there and pick up the supplies because the deal is insanely good. So like for an 1/8-inch Baltic birch sheet, a 5x5 sheet, the lowest quote I got here was $39.95. Yeah, like that stuff.
For a sheet?
MakerStock, for a sheet. MakerStock has it for $29.
Ooh.
But they also have volume discounts. So if I get $1,000, there's like 15 or 20%. So it's significant.
Yeah.
So basically, really I think we did the math. And if I went with that big quote that I asked him to give me, I'm looking at like $24 a sheet. And I also found out that Chris from A Glimpse Inside pays $19 a sheet for those.
My goodness.
Which is, I know, insane.
He probably buys a huge bulk though. Like,
but I'm literally buying a skid at this point.
Right.
Like I went to my local lumberyard and I'm like, hey, do you guys have this? We don't have it. Can you get it? We could. I'm like, how much do I have to buy? 30 sheets? Is that enough? They're like, can you do 32? I'm like, that's weirdly specific. Are you flirting with me? And he's like, no, that's what's on a skid, like on a pallet. And I'm like, I will gladly buy 32. Give me a quote. He's like, $41.90. I'm like, cool. Thanks. Go F yourself. Like I just walked out of there. I mean, I bought some other stuff, but it's expensive, especially in Jersey. Jersey, everything is marked up. It's a real freaking shame. So I'm actually going to try to get my supplier's details, because if I have to drive down to the docks in Linden or whatever in Jersey, because that's where all that stuff comes in. It just sits on containers. And if I can get it real cheap, I'll just load up there. I don't care. I'll buy two pallets.
What if just you buy a whole container of plywood?
I'm not that rich. And I have a kid on a way, Dan. And I have a car payment now. So that's a no.
Yeah, but credit cards are fake money.
I might still get new tires for my truck, Dan. I might do that. I don't know. Maybe new rims? What do you think?
Feel like I'm being attacked right now? Like, I don't know.
You're not being attacked. You're attack adjacent. But anyway, so I'm just trying to lock down some supplies because I'm down to like that big batch that I bought from that lumber yard real cheap. I am down to, I think, 4 sheets or 3 sheets. Of like the 26 I bought or something like
did
that.
Did you get like an amazing deal, like $4 a sheet or something like that?
No. It wasn't like that. It was like 20 something bucks a sheet.
Man, am I coming up with these numbers?
It was really good. Now they're trying to charge me double. That's why I'm like, no, thank you. So I'm just trying to lock down some supplies just to get me, you know, carry me through the year. I had the delivery of all the ice climbing tools. So those are in the shop. They're ready to be worked on. I'm going to start working on that in the next week. I'm wrapping up all the drawers are cut up for the kitchen island, and I'm learning that I hate Imperial. And next time I use Blum hardware, I'm going to be going full metric for all the measurements because it's like, oh, the drawers are 21 inches and a 16th. Well, you need to subtract from that. I think it was like 9/16ths. And then it was another one that was like 9/32ths. So. And that was your math for like how wide the opening it is. And then you subtract 2 5/8 inch drawers and then you're down to like 19.40265. It's burned into my memory. So I hate that. We're just going to go with metric next time.
Listen, Pete, freedom isn't always free. Sometimes you got to make sacrifices for the bald eagles.
Metric ring.
Listen, I don't know how many times I got to tell people this. Fractions are just decimals. It's literally a division problem. 9/16ths, 9 divided by 16ths. That's 0.5625.
No common calculator will do fractions. And that, like, I had this like DeWalt calculator that actually did fractions and it stopped working. And then any one I downloaded off the internet, it started playing one of those stupid games every time I would get an equation. You know, like, hey, son, which way do you move the sword so that the king gets to the egg? Like, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do.
So stupid. Like, don't call it free if you're going to make me watch a stupid ad for a game I'll never download. Rant over.
Again, freedom ain't free.
Freedom ain't free. Maybe it's just me. I have all those fractions committed to memory. They're decimal equivalent. So it's super easy for me.
Well, yeah, but you're the math guy.
You're the math guy.
I've been doing it so long that
I also got all of my CNC and all my laser work in metric, and all my 3D printing work.
Well,
in metric.
That's just crazy.
So,
that's crazy talk.
It is what it is, ladies. Dziewczyny, because it's a metric thing. So I said it in Polish.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so taught the class. Working on that kitchen. I still need to figure it out or finish it up and hopefully paint it this week. It's just, I don't know what it is, man. Since we got back from WorkbenchCon, I've been busier than ever. There's constantly something happening and all the emails that we're sending out, it's like potentially creating more work too, which is super scary, super fun. Yay. And then today when I finished work, instead of being an adult and being like, hey, I should probably go answer some emails. I should get some work done in a shop. I walked over to my neighbor. I'm like, hey, you're running a chainsaw. What's going on? What are we doing? And we proceed to cut a bunch of trees on his property. And then I'm like, hey, you might helping me with this giant ash tree that we've been talking about for like 2 years. He's like, sure, we're here. Let's do it. So we worked on cutting down an ash tree that was like 28 inches in diameter. And we had an 18 and a 20 inch saw, chainsaw. So we couldn't even get through the whole thing. And of course, the way we cut it, like we couldn't get it to like crack and fully fall over. It was a whole pain in the butt. And it was at a 45 degree incline. So that was a fun night. But we got it down, trees down. We cut it down because the Emerald dashboard last year, nothing was growing on it. It was already starting to die and we were trying to take it out before it got really bad and dangerous to cut down. So anyone that's yelling at me already, because I keep getting messages on Instagram, why'd you get a healthy tree down? Because I hate ash trees. That's why. So anyways, that's been my week.
Ash
Dan, what's
hater.
Up with you?
I just want to point out that a guy that said he's doing everything in life in metric just described both the chainsaw and the tree in Imperial.
Because that's the only way to sell them.
Thank you.
You can't get a 200 centimeter saw
Would it be 200 centimeters?
I don't know. I can't convert the two.
That's either like really big or like
20.
Oh, that number's big.
A 20 inch would be 50, what's, like 60 centimeters.
What's 8 inches of metric?
It's 8 inches times 2.54.
Well, it kind of depends if you're measuring from the base of the chainsaw or from the blade.
It's 20.32 centimeters, ladies.
Okay.
I wonder if like in Europe, they just round down. They're just like 20 centimeters.
No, you always round up.
Always yeah, you always round up.
That's a pretty big up.
Doesn't 21. Matter. Always up.
But oh. Saying like I'm 21 centimeters is like, it's a weird flirt. Anyways, speaking of
you weird know, flirts.
10 centimeters, Dan.
Speaking of centimeters. So I've been really busy with Etsy orders, obviously, since we got back from WorkbenchCon. I think I mentioned this last week when I got back from WorkbenchCon.
Etsy orders? Yeah, you did.
When I got back from WorkbenchCon, my Etsy queue was 102 orders that I needed to fulfill. And
what's that in metric?
Well, take it times 2 divided by 7.
Carry the 2.
I don't know, I can't do it. I think it's like 300 kilometers. I had it, yeah, it was up to 102. I think last weekend I got it down to 41. I think I texted you guys down to 41 and I was feeling good about it. But the last couple days, I don't know what the hell happened. My Etsy store blew up again and it's well over 70 again.
I've had a busy week too. It's weird. I don't know what it is.
You know, I'm not, that, go ahead.
There was that news story about you.
What?
What?
I can't. I don't believe anything that you say anymore.
Which news story?
Yeah, which one?
Don't worry about it. Just Google it. What were you saying, okay. Dan?
I will later. I'm scared.
Local
now.
Man takes 2 approaches to get into his truck.
So, it's like 3 steps forward, 2 steps back over here. I know I'm a broken record when I'm talking about my week because that's basically all I do anymore is Etsy orders and. You know, it pays the bills, so I can't complain too much. It is a little soul draining. It is a little creative, like, what is the word I'm looking for? It's a creative abyss of despair.
God, I got dark.
That pays for your truck.
Yeah, it pays for things. So I can't.
I'm
be
sad on the inside.
Gosh.
The darkness of despair pays for the bright white paint job on that truck.
Ooh, that's deep and also shallow.
I guess we could talk about the other big thing of my week. I traded in the Trail Boss for a new 2500 three-quarter ton truck.
Got a new truck.
Yeah.
And Kayla is mad.
Oh, she's...
It's literally going in the show notes like
that.
Say
she's mad. She's not as happy as I'd like her to be about it. She's not as happy as I am, that's for sure.
Disappointed.
Kayla is dissatisfied with her Dan experience.
That's probably more accurate, yes. Yes.
She's leaving a one-star review on DanielDunlopExperience.com.
And I don't think I'll be able to leave a public reply to that rating either, so I should probably just keep my mouth shut. Yeah. My week has been same old, same old. Nothing exciting to elaborate on, unfortunately.
Really? Did you like maybe lose anything?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I don't know.
You're less fat.
Ouch.
Talk about that.
Yeah, so less fat.
He unfatted himself.
Well, we talked about this last week, too. You know, every time we go to these maker meetups and events and stuff, you know, I see myself in videos and pictures and I'm like, oh, God, what has happened to me? So this year after WorkbenchCon, I got a little serious. I want to lose some weight. I've ballooned a lot and I'm not real proud of it. And I'm not.
Hey, what does Dan and the housing market have in common?
Oh, God.
Millennials can't afford them.
I don't.
All right, let's not be here a week.
I don't follow that one.
Okay, boomer.
So, anyways, I got serious about trying to live a little bit better of a healthy life. So, I've lost 10 pounds. you know.
Dude, I'm really proud of you for that. I'm genuinely super proud of you.
I've lost 10 pounds since WorkBenchCon. It's like a pound a day almost. I think it's been.
I'm really proud of you, but just removing digits seemed like kind of a dramatic way to do it. Like,
I still have all my fingers, but I have chopped off all my toes.
All the toes.
Yes. And maybe a kneecap or two.
You know, they said a camera adds 20 pounds. Dan stopped eating cameras. he's sticking to real food.
I want to know. So, okay. So I've been
eating a lot of quinoa.
I've been doing the same thing.
Quinoa.
But your approach to like losing weight and like eating better apparently is just chucking everything healthy in a blender. Why do you blend everything? Is chewing still that hard?
It helps it process better.
It moves.
Science.
It's like
pre-chewing your food.
It moves into the body. You're not really burning that many calories chewing.
Yeah. Why even bother?
Listen, Dan stood up earlier and his belly was genuinely not showing. Like, it's actually noticeable. It's actually shockingly noticeable.
You ready? People are going to have to watch the YouTube video, but I'll do it again.
YouTube.com/AnotherWoodshopPodcast.
Here we go.
Oh, that's an OnlyFans bod right there.
That's getting there. Dan's got a belly usually. No offense, Dan.
Like, no, I know. And that's one of the things that I was like, oh, God.
Like, there's dad bod and there's like father
there's
bod.
There's Dan bod.
Like, he's father bod.
That was a father figure.
You barely stretched out Kamani's face on your shirt.
That's the plan. I don't want his afro to be any bigger than it actually is.
Please stop grabbing at your nips on camera.
Did that make you feel uncomfortable?
No, it's making me feel special.
You grabbing your nipples while I look at Kamani's eyes? Yes, that made me very uncomfortable.
Show notes. Dan grabs nipples.
Guys, I'm gonna Kamani's nipple eyes. Calling out to the community here. I need help being more creative, and I'm so sick of saying the same thing every week.
That's the orders.
One thing I got to look forward to, actually, thank you, Braden, is we signed up for the Maker Challenge?
The Maker Collab
Did
Challenge.
Did your
Maker
Collab work challenge. Or no?
It has not been officially declined.
So it's working-ish. We kind of did a three-way scam sign up. I don't know what it is.
Wait for Christy and Nick to figure that one out and be like, what the F is happening in Nebraska? What's in the corn?
Not mathematics.
No, definitely no math over here. Yeah, so.
Just play dumb when she tells you. Just be like, I don't know. Let me sign up with him.
No. Nick and Braden like cornered me and they're like, you have to sign up for this. You always talk about how you don't have anything creative anymore. I'm like, I don't have any time. And they made me and they forced my hand. So I'm going to do the Maker Challenge collab thingamabob with Nick and Braden. I'm looking forward to it.
My partner is Dan. Dan's partner is Nick. Nick's partner is me.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. They're going to have
to keep me in line. It's just a pyramid scheme with extra steps.
It really is. Can we make it an upside down pyramid, though?
Like, you mean what our bods are going to look like in swimsuits?
Yes. With the delts.
Johnny Bravo.
Is that a...
Cool.
What is that? What's Johnny Bravo?
Dan's too old for this, Aiden.
God.
How old are you?
He's like 19. The year of our Lord, 33 years old.
Oh, you're 33?
Yeah, it's been hard. Life has been hard on me.
Man, I thought you were in your 50s at least.
This is as far as my covered wagon made it across the prairie before the dysentery, and we just gave up and planted roots.
You beat me to it because I was going to make some kind of joke, and you're just like, yeah, life's been hard. Like, you're meaner than I was. Damn, you got dysentery and dadentery. Jeez. All right.
A little bit of dis, a little bit of dat.
A little bit of that.
And Terry.
But you made it. You made it all the way out to Nebraska and gave up.
It's like the halfway point. It's not.
All right. Speaking of giving up,
I guess.
We're halfway there. Living on a prayer. Wait,
we're going to get a copyright strike. Stop that.
Dan, Dan.
What?
Dan.
Yo.
Dan.
Yes.
Daniel.
Dan. Daniel.
Me?
That's weird. Dan. What's in Maker News this week?
Man, why are you going to throw this on me? And I don't even...
Because I knew you didn't prep. Like, nobody prepped. No, nothing happened.
What's in Maker News?
University. Let me... that was pretty badass. That's cool.
I was going to say that, actually. You just took my answer.
Dan also, like, Dan owns a laser now, and Dan lasers stuff, and he actually does cool stuff, and he actually looks like he knows what he's doing.
I'm glad it looks that way. I have no effing idea what I'm doing right now.
I was so proud of him lasering stuff. Like, he was just so excited, like a kid on Christmas, just lasers. Dick butt.
Oh, yeah, now we can. Oh, well, Dick butt is the official, like, animal of...
Can I go back to...
Oh, sure, yeah. I'll edit. Yeah, I'll take this period away, and I'll make it a comma. Go, Dan.
So, I got the Thunderbolt in my shop. That thing is super fun. I enjoy that. That's a great laser. That's a great machine. Obviously, they sent it to me, and I'm very appreciative, but...
You didn't pay for it?
It's fantastic. I mean,
you're paying for it.
It was nearly plug and play, wasn't it, Brayden? Brayden came over and helped me lift it out of the crate onto my workbench. I actually thought it was going to be like way worse than it actually was. We were able to lift it pretty easily. yeah, it's because we're super swole. But
I helped Keith Johnson set up his X-Tool laser. So I helped him do that this week.
Oh, cool.
So cool. Basically the same thing.
Go ahead and steal all my thunder. It's fine.
We did learn something cool about the Bolt laser from Ben Myers at WorkbenchCon.
Yeah, it's better than every single product that Monport has.
What did we learn?
There goes that sponsorship. Me. So, I'm glad you asked, Dan, even though you know fully. apparently, the Bolt is an RF laser. It's not a CO2
It's
laser,
a CO2 RF.
CO2 RF. Yeah. But so what it is the beam apparently is much finer, and you get much better... Much better refined engraving. So it's actually gooder. Really better.
It's much gooder.
Much gooder. It's double plus good engraving. So apparently it's really good for fine engraving work.
I can confirm that, actually. The beam on that is really small. And the kerf, the laser kerf, is like, really tiny.
Honestly, if I had more space, I'd be hitting them up, be like, yo, can we figure something out for that? Because like I love my big Laguna laser. That thing sucks for engraving.
Right.
It's too powerful. It literally, like, when I engrave stuff, it turns gray because it pulverizes, like, it atomizes the wood instead of burning it. So, like, yeah, it's a whole pain in the butt. That's my one gripe about it.
I'm running into that a lot because I was engraving with the diode, and now I'm trying to figure out how to make the 100-watt do both things, and it's just not great at engraving.
Yeah.
That bolt was sexy.
Yeah, it's clean, crisp. So Dan's better than us now.
A really good in-between machine like the Thunderbolt.
Oh, do you think they named it Thunderbolt on purpose?
That's intelligent.
Why do you think the other one's called the Clap?
I had to stop and think about it for a second.
So wholesome. So
hey, Thunder, sponsor the podcast, please.
They're going to cancel me. Anyway, one of the things I did this week, actually, was I took a couple pieces of quarter-inch clear acrylic and did some tests on them. Before I knew that there was this whole test thing you could do, I didn't know that was a thing. And I was trying to figure out the best settings for actually cutting those. And I finally settled on something. And now... my bow tie templates are going to have clean laser cuts. Whereas before, I used the CNC to cut those out, and it worked. It worked fine, but it still had rounded inside, outside corners. And because it's CNC, the actual cut was a little rough looking. It wasn't as crisp as like some other people's templates. So I'm super excited about having the new bolt to cut out those templates. That's the main thing I wanted that thing for. So I'm glad I got that dialed in.
So you've had issues with Etsy orders with your bow ties, with people thinking they're either too rough or like, how do I use the template?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a YouTube video of you like showing somebody how to use it?
I have an Instagram reel that I have pinned at the top of my profile.
Wow, Dan.
But I really should. Wow. I really should make a YouTube video. And maybe that could get me out of my creative lull.
I think that's a great idea. Dan, you have homework for this weekend.
Okay.
Well, deal. So
record a short sub 5-minute video on how to set up those templates.
And then set up a QR code in Lightburn and just burn it onto every single template as part of your process. Plus, you can put your branding on it. You've got real estate there.
Wait, I'm going to teach Dan something. Did you know that Lightburn has a QR code generator built into it?
I did not. I don't know about a lot of things with Lightburn. I just started using it like a couple days ago. I've always used
stuff on the streets.
Like the whenever I did any lasering, when I had that X-Tool D1, I just used their software. They have pretty decent software. So I don't hate their software. It was very easy. But Lightburn is something else. So yeah, I need a lot of Lightburn help.
It's going to be a whole new world for you, Dan. And I'm just so excited to watch. I'm so excited to watch just the glory of you cresting that sun-soaked hill.
Man, the QR code on there with a link to that is brilliant. Damn it, Braden.
That's my one good idea for the quarter.
I like
it. Even just include it in the box, too. Like, you could do that, too.
Yeah, but if it's right on the template and they could just click that and refer to it every time they use it.
Can't lose it. That's what's in
just
my
please,
box.
For the love of God, Dan, do not go to like a free QR code generator website and generate it through there, because those expire and then somebody that didn't listen to me, they went through a website and they just chose a different website, and then all of their laser engraved business cards just went to like the QR code site that was like, hey, this link's expired. Yeah.
My banner for my craft fair booth, it's one of those QR codes. So my entire banner.
You weren't even the person I'm talking about, but there you go. Lesson learned.
Same thing. All my business cards. Like, I've got to reorder new stuff.
Interesting. So yeah, I would assume that Lightburns isn't that way. The Lightborn.
It is not.
Lightborn?
Forever. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So here's the thing. If you scan a QR code off a website or whatever, and it goes to like a different link, like it says like qi.ios.ii or whatever, like that's not your link.
Huh.
That's going to their site and rerouting you. What you want is one, and when you scan it, it says like Linktree or, you know, the BB experience. Or whatever. So, like, you want one of those.
BBC.com, Braden Boakes Crafts.
You should buy that URL.
That's a good idea.
I think it's probably available, to be honest.
I'm going to look it up, see if it's taken.
Yeah, like,
who the hell would
like
take
this
that?
One, the one on my business card, it, if I scan it, it previews Linktree at the bottom. So like it's going to my site.
That's a good,
and mine even has like the little logo on the inside. Yeah, there you go.
Alrighty, all right. Noted. Seriously, this is a great idea.
Well, maybe I don't know. Call your best friend. And then when he doesn't pick up, call me.
Nick never answers when I call.
Yeah, a little Nick. You're a side piece, Braden. Okay.
That's fine.
Side piece of best.
I have to make myself feel better by acting indignant, but listen, I'm just here to get what I can where I can get it.
Well, speaking of getting it.
Oh, Black Betty, ramble him.
I think we should get into questions. I don't know why that's the questions audio, but that's what we're doing.
What's on my questions?
So first question's from Mitch Hale from Horndog Maps again. And he's got a frog in his throat.
Hey guys, it's Mitch from Horndog Maps. If you think my voice sounds different, don't worry about it. It's 2024 and it's none of your business. So unsurprisingly, my question is about spraying finish. I have my picture frames I make and I want to spray on a seal coat after rubbing on India ink or shellac. I've been looking at the bottom cut Fuji sprayers. I want to keep overspray to a minimum and I think that would be a good option. I also would like to have two or three different cups, so I can have one with a shellac, one with water-based poly, and the other can be my cleanup cup that I can spray water or alcohol through. Would a setup like that work? and can I leave finish in the cup for semi-long-term storage? I'm thinking one or two spray sessions a week. Finishing is my least favorite part of the process, and I want to make that as efficient as possible. What do you guys use for your spray equipment? And do you do a thorough clean every time, or can you just give the tip a quick clean and call it a day until the next spray sesh?
Wow, that is a very attractively read question.
Say shellac one more time.
Shellac these. Dan, what do you think, Dan? Dan, can finish last a long time in a can without going bad?
Yes, Dan? It certainly can.
I heard thoroughly clean after every use, and I knew Dan was going to have a good answer.
I have the Fuji Semi-Pro. I love that sprayer. It is fantastic. I've had that sprayer for maybe 2.5 years, maybe 3 years. Somewhere between 2 and 3 years. So we'll just say 2.5. I have cleaned that gun and the canister once. Once. And that's probably going to make some people angry. Some people are probably going to be disgusted. But
I'm telling.
No, that's fine. I don't care. However, I do use it regularly. I use it every day. Sometimes I fill up the can once or twice a day. So it's being fed through like a lot. It doesn't just sit there stagnant. However, it's such a good airtight seal that I don't worry about it being or going bad or anything like that. So, and I rarely clean the tip off of the gun, of the spray gun, to be clear. I think I do it maybe once a week. I'm really awful when it comes to that. But if you're looking for something with little bit of overspray or a little amount of overspray, you can't go wrong with the Fuji. I think the Fuji is great. What was his other questions? He had a lot of questions.
He was talking about, he wants to like use multiple finishes. What would you recommend?
Like swapping out the cups?
Should you get multiple cups or what?
I mean, if you can get multiple cups, that's not a bad idea. I mean, those Fuji cups are not cheap.
Yeah. Each spray gun, I feel like, is like $400.
Yeah,
or
the entire gun is like $400.
But if you want to go from like a top loader, like I have a bottom loader, I'm like, oh, it'd be cool to have a top loading one. No.
I started out with the top loader, but I prefer the bottom actually now, because not only do I find that it's easier to use, but it holds more material than the top.
Fun fact, mine and Emma's wedding song was Dancing in the Moonlight by Top Loader. It's actually the name of the band.
Dancing would it be in the moonlight, would it be worth
everybody, yeah.
I didn't know in that was the name of the band.
In his question, swapping out finishes like cups, would it be worth having like one more cup that has alcohol or something in it to like spritz it out?
Yeah.
Or is that
just absolutely overkill? There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I don't even know if you can just buy different cups.
Just the cups
you can.
You probably can, but I've never looked into it. That would be a hell of a lot cheaper than just buying different guns, that's for sure. Pete, do you have a question? I see you raised your hand.
I had the answer to what you were asking.
Oh.
What he's asking to. Unless, Brayden, do you want to go next?
I still spray shellac out of like rattle cans. I have nothing to offer here.
I actually learned on that subject that if you spray shellac, you need to have an explosion-proof fan. That's something you need if you spray shellac and other things like that, because it's alcohol-based and it can be very dangerous. Also,
if you're in an enclosed area,
yeah.
You're gonna have that problem if you spray lacquer too. But if you're like me and you spray right next to your open garage doors, you're fine.
I can offer something. You can buy single cups for $61.95 on Amazon.
That is much better than $400, according to my math.
Yeah, but the thing is, the cups themselves, like the bar with the little vent at the end, like that dips into it, so you got to clear that off anyways.
Right.
So Yeah. So unless you go to like a cleaning one and spray it and then you go into the other one. Yes, you could do that. But then you need a cap for it too, which is a whole nother thing. So I was very much like Brayden. I was using rattle can, lacquer, and poly and other stuff for a long time. And then I started using my my Erlex sprayer, the 6003, so it's a three stage. And that thing's awesome. At the time, in the beginning, I didn't know what I was doing, so I was kind of overspraying. It's in the same caliber as like the Fuji.
It's very similar to the Fuji.
And it's a two or three stage sprayer. You're going to like get a good experience. Then you've got like the Q5, which is like a quiet five stage that'll just push anything through it. It's crazy. But so I was moving. I had a thing of like, I made Dan's famous lacquer recipe, which just lacquer and lacquer thinner.
It's 2-to-1 ratio.
Don't spoil it.
Oh, okay.
Watch my reel. I posted about it. But anyways, I had it in that thing and I sprayed it at the old house. And then I didn't use it for a while. And then we moved. And then I didn't spray for like 8 months. Anytime I had to spray, I just like use a can, right? Because it was just like in a box put away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's no way this is good. I sprayed some stuff. Perfect still. Lacquer just like is so stable in there. Uh-huh. As long as you don't open that can, if you just leave it closed, you're going to be fine. Honestly, I'm shocked at how well it kept. And it looked good when it went on. There's not like it was getting the orange peeling or anything.
I remember when that issue came up a while back, myself and the former co-host did not see eye to eye on that. And I was like, no, it's going to be fine.
Mike's like, no, I got to clean the gun 6 times a day. And Dan's like, no, once a year, maybe. So I recently, I took the lacquer out. I actually put it into a plastic Tupperware or whatever, like the Total Boat thing with a lid. And I put it in there and talked me into General Finishes. I'm like, let me try this thing that you're talking about. That's $93 a can. Sure. Why not?
So expensive.
For a gallon. Yeah. I absolutely love it. Spraying General Finishes, it just goes on. The problem is you can barely even see it. It's like when you spray Halcyon, you can barely see when it hits the material. You really need some kind of light to look against the grain and see with the reflection and stuff. But it goes on so easy. The only thing is the General Finishes, it immediately makes a coating on a nozzle. So every time I would like every an hour or so when I would go to spray again, I got to get in there with my fingernail and like pull it off. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Now, honestly, like you're probably in the market for like the PPS system. So if you don't look up the 3M PPS system, and it's basically a cup with a bag in it.
Oh yeah.
And you can put different finishes in it. And what it does is essentially as you're running out of finish, it starts shrinking. So you have very little air in there, if any.
It's the same concept as a baby bottle formula, like when infants drink from them, because you don't want them to burp. You want them?
Oh, I actually didn't know that.
Yeah,
I learned something new.
Yeah. Oh, I need to know that stuff. You'll learn this eventually.
I'll learn that eventually. Yeah. So I think the PPS system for you would be great. I've actually thought about getting it for myself just because it seems nice to have like multiple finishes. I'm less afraid of spraying now. I was in dance camp for years where I was like, oh, spraying lacquer is so freaking easy, but it's not as water resistant. So occasionally it would just be, you know,
lacquer is great for inserts.
But for for like any shop stuff,
yeah,
whatever, like it was just so easy to spray. The thing never clogged. I literally never cleaned the tip. But the General Finishes is nice and it makes a waterproof surface too. So, but look into the PPS system. If you need a link, I'll send you my Amazon affiliates. Hit me up.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Next one is from Toma. Toma typed out a question. And in the spirit of Mitch Hale, I threw it into an AI-generated voice mod thing. So here it goes. Sorry, I didn't have a French accent, so I went with British.
It's close enough.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? Hey, guys. I am...
By the way, that part was not in it. It was a recommendation by Dan, so it felt French. So
I didn't
recommend
that phrase, but it's perfect.
You didn't. Croissant. That's what we're gonna, what's more French than hearing
voulez-vous coucher avec moi? Hey guys, I am delighted to inform you that I spoke with your emissary, and I am eagerly awaiting to hear tales from the new world. My question for tonight is about shop layout. I, as many other, have been trying to cram my shop with as many tools as possible, but I realized that I don't use some of them. Also, in a luthier shop or a chair shop, there's only what is necessary for that making guitars or chairs. Have you ever considered changing your shop layout for a more specific task? Or you really want to have a can-do-anything-in-there shop? Especially because you two are self-made, too soon, you might want to keep it as adaptable as possible for all your ideas. All right, bye. Thomas.
I love that. What did he mean by the self-made thing? I didn't get it. But the emissary he's talking about was actually Malcolm. Malcolm's going to be visiting Thomas in a couple of weeks. So literally the voice of AWP is physically going to visit Thomas in the promised land.
We're not paying for that, are we?
Yes.
It's a write-off.
Oh my God.
God. It's okay. The tickets to France are only like $2,000.
I've never been to France. Why are we sending an emissary? I want to go.
I've seen London. I've seen France. I've seen Dan in his underpants.
Yes, this is accurate. This is accurate.
But you know what? After all the jokes, honestly, a really good question.
Great
question. Guys, Brayden, would you ever specialize your shop? Would you ever just be like, you know what? I don't need a bandsaw anymore. Or I don't need a jointer.
I don't think I could.
Coward.
Yeah, call me whatever you need to call me.
A little
okay.
Like that.
Call me whatever you want to call me, except for that.
And medium bug.
I'm not sure if I'm offended.
I mean, you're a little bug. Everything you are is little. Come on.
I'm offended either just from a personal stance or from a religious standpoint. I'm not sure, but
why not both?
No, I like trying too many things. I'm too early in my making life to really look at one single project or one single type of thing and be like, that's what I'm going to do forever. I really like adding new machines, because if I stuck with just cornhole boards like when I started, I wouldn't have the laser, and I love the laser, and I wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't need the bandsaw, and I just like trying new things. So specializing, I couldn't do. Layout, I also can't do, but I can fix that.
Oh, you layout you can't do? Hey, what are you doing in 2 weeks to help Dan?
I'm helping him haul everything out so that he's forced to deal with his problems.
You're helping him move all of his tools on casters into his sloped driveway.
We're gonna,
and then at the bottom is gonna be a U-Haul.
I'm gonna put that new truck sideways in the driveway.
Yeah, we're gonna put the new truck sideways on the bottom, like, you know, stopping kids from running in the street. Except it's jointers.
Oh, is it slightly hard pasta? Because that truck is gonna be al dente. Get it, al dente. It's an Italian joke.
I like puns. I like puns. I hated that one. I don't know why that one didn't land on me.
That was,
you know, they're always worse when you don't say them, right? Like. But if you said it, you would have been like, that's fire. I don't know why you guys aren't laughing. So good. But so you can't you wouldn't be able to specialize?
I don't think I could. Because every time I specialize, there's going to be somebody that creates something really cool that I want to see what I can, like how I can make a twist on that or try
it out.
How can
I rip that off?
Yeah, pretty much. measure once, cut twice.
Yes.
What about you, Dan? Like, I feel like if your Etsy was just really, truly taken off and you had some other stuff that was like non, like woodworking, whatever,
I think,
and you just were CNCing all day, would you specialize and get rid of some tools?
Look, here's the thing. I already specialize, right? I mean, I think it's safe to say that I specialize in inserts and bow ties at this point.
Wait, you do bow ties?
Occasionally, every now and then still. Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, but are you royalty?
I am Kate Middleton, actually. I didn't want to.
It's a Kate Middleton.
I didn't want to.
Sarpy County.
Let y'all know. Everybody's been looking for her. I'm right here.
Show title right there.
So, I already specialize. However, like, I would not get rid of things and set my shop up to specialize because I want the freedom, just like Brayden said, of being able to do different things. I feel like if I do that, I'm just going to limit myself, and there's just like no possible way I could ever expand and do other things. And it would literally drive me crazy. I'm to the point now where I kind of want to pull all my hair out, which I'm fastly losing as I hit or get closer to 50 years old. So that would be a bad idea. But yeah, Pete, ice climbing tools, specialize in that.
Here's the thing. I really like this question because it made me think about stuff that I used to think about all the time, which was we thought about actually starting a school or makerspace, which, and the idea was all of our tools are nice enough where if we moved them into the makerspace, like it would be a well outfitted makerspace, but we probably want to still have a decent or some kind of like shop at home. So there's been a lot of talk, and I've thought about it, like what if my table saw, CNC joiner, everything was just moved into another space? What would I have at home? I'd probably still have like a chop saw or whatever. But then I started thinking, like, would I do that? Or would I like keep the laser and CNC at home and just run something like that? And you'd still need a table saw, but maybe like I have thought about maybe just downsizing to like a contractor saw. Something on the stand or legs and with a little outfeed table or something. But, you know, I'm trying to think of like not downsizing, but upsizing. Like I want to go to the next space. Like we're planning a building on a property so that we can put big tools in there or just the same tools that we have now, but with room, you know, maybe have a dedicated router table and like some other things. But like really, there's not a lot of tools that I would be adding to my shop. So we have thought about it. You know, I've seen like chair shops before or like specialized shops. And it's weird to go in there and be like, where's your table saw? You know, like all they use is like they shape with hand tools and they cut stuff on bandsaws and a chop saw. And a chop saw is like an old sliding. What is the thing called when it's blades down?
Radial arm saw.
Radial arm saw. Yeah. Like
I've seen places like about that.
A radial arm saw instead of like a regular like chop saw, and it's like, whoa, how does this, but this place puts out like beautiful chairs and whatever, because like a lot of it's hand tool work. And I get it, you know, if you're really specialized, like Tama, for you, I think you're slated to be doing a little bit of everything. You're a tinkerer, I know that for a fact. You're a very nerdy guy. You're into some engineering stuff, into drones. He used to actually make drones and play around with that stuff. You like tools. You like toys. You're like all the three of us. Unfortunately, we're all the same. Like we like toys. We like fun things. And I don't think you have to specialize too much. But that being said, if I was ever like, hey, this content thing is not working, whatever, like I'm retired, or I won the lottery, I don't know. Maybe if we move somewhere else, I'd just have like a little shop in the corner of the garage and not have to make content. But I do love this, you know, so.
I think there's kind of something to be said too, like where we all are. And where a lot of us are in terms of our businesses too, is there's not a lot of people that have the luxury of saying that they specialize in like one thing. A lot of us are, hey,
hustling.
Yeah. I'll take whatever will pay some money sort of thing. So, you know, this week it might be planter boxes. Next week it might be inserts. The week after it could be a giant wooden horse.
I mean, we're not even like, most of us are not even in just a genre. We're not even in wood.
Right.
We're wood, metal, 3D printing, plastic, like CNCing stuff, lasers. Like this is literally what used to be four or five different businesses. Some of them didn't even exist back in the day. Now it's like, what we have in our shops is absolutely effing insane. Like the fact that you have a CNC behind you, Brayden. Something that like Dan used to run for a fabrication company that was like a warehouse, and they were the only ones in like, you know, in the city that had it. Like that's what it used to be. Now we have lasers. Like I have a freaking laser in my shop. That's kind of insane.
Freaking laser, you know? Beams. I'm just one shark away from living the dream.
Yeah, exactly. Freaking.
No, it's true. Yeah, no, the stuff we have in our shops now, like 20 years ago, it would be mind-boggling. Yeah, I mean, these are you would have to spend upwards of like tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, to have the things we have. And they wouldn't be nearly as small as we got now. Like, you would have to be like all in, huge business, get these big, super massive machines in your shop. It certainly wouldn't be in a hobbyist garage.
Speaking,
and I think. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna left turn it and make a joke.
Oh,
so go ahead.
Oh, but okay. Well, I'll put a pin in that. But I think one of the best things that happened to the maker movement was Instagram, Pinterest, TikTok, all that stuff, because the Instagram reality of like, oh, well, those guys, they're able to fit all those tools in there. And like, oh, those cabinets look so nice. Because like, here's the thing, with a lot of those specialty shops are traditional shops and they don't necessarily look nice. They look real freaking rough because they're just production shops in a small space. We've gotten to the point where we like care about how things look because we want it to look good. We want to impress others. And I think that's kind of nice. It's because the byproduct of it is we're trying to achieve that Instagram reality. Like, I'm not a streamer. I don't stream video games, whatever, but like my background, even on this video on youtube.com/AnotherWoodshopPodcast is like, you know, like I care about it, but like it literally does nothing. In our shops, we try to have things as organized, except Dan, as possible. Like, not to attack you, but except Dan.
Don't
like. There's
me
plenty of shops. Like when I go to Keith's shop, it's like it's so pristine. Like every cabinet is finished. It looks nice, and like I think that's actually a good thing because he has so much stuff in that shop, from hardware to like double drawers, like something you'd see in a high end kitchen for just screws and random things. And it's so well put away. Every Festool tool has got its own drawer. And like, you can have all the nice stuff and you can fit into a 1.5-car garage because, you know, you can push the envelope of what's possible with a small space. We know plenty of people that are kicking butt in like a 1-car garage. I mean, like even like Scotty Holland, we were talking about him the other day. Like he's in like a 1-car garage and he's got a really nice setup. You know,
or Morgan, so, Morgan Hop,
what? Morgan Hop. Oh my God. The amount of stuff he's got shoved into that. He literally has a CNC on a wall, one in the back and one under a table. Now,
I mean, he's got essentially a shed, right?
It is just a shed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, a glimpse inside too. He's in like two sheds and he's running.
Yeah.
Full on business.
I don't think like, he was actually someone I was just thinking about when I was thinking about the answer to this. I don't know if he has like a full shop. Because he's very specialized. Like, does he actually have like tables, like a big table saw and joiner or whatever? Or is he just.
No, because
I don't know.
That'd be a good question to ask him.
I'm pretty sure
he, have him back on.
He has. Well, he's got to have a table saw because he's does the French cleat stuff.
Well, maybe he's just a track saw king of Pinellas County, where he's at. I don't know.
I guess, but man.
Yeah, you're right. I think he has a table saw.
He's an optimizer kind of guy. There's no way he would do that much production level stuff using just a track saw. Like he's too much of an optimizer.
I'm surprised he doesn't have like a panel saw at this point.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he does. Maybe he just buys all that wood at Home Depot and he has them cut it there. It's this whole scam.
I don't think his business could survive at Home Depot prices.
That and Home Depot is very much known for their very clean cuts.
Yes.
Yeah, and their panel saw, for sure. It's always a sparkling, clean blade, and it's perfect in every way.
Clean Air Force. Clean AF.
Yeah.
Speaking of perfect and fitting tools in shops, Dan, you want to go splitsies on a 1945 24-inch Oliver joiner?
That 16-incher? Is that what it is?
This one is a 24-inch.
I saw that on the Facebook Marketplace the other day. I almost sent it to you.
That is too big.
That's like an entire table. You just plane your whole table.
I have trouble running an 8-inch board through the planer or the joiner sometimes.
In length,
like,
width, or...
Oh, wait, you're talking about a planer. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm thinking of a joiner. But like, because I've seen some big freaking joiners. I saw a video today of like a joiner that's bigger than my planer, and I'm like, how?
Am I saying planer? This is a joiner.
Yeah. You're saying joiner. Okay, you're saying joiner. Yeah, like, I can, sometimes there's an 8-inch joiner that, like, or my 8-inch joiner, I can't push material through it, because it's just, I guess I'm taking too deep of a cut.
You got,
I can't imagine
you got those
running
tiny jersey arms.
Yeah, I can't imagine. That's too big.
Yeah,
that's an out. That's an outfeed table with blades.
That's a monster,
dude. It's a table saw, but the blade is just the whole length.
That's just a giant dado stack. It's fine.
I don't know. Those old school tools, like, they scare me a little bit.
That was so that 1945. That was the product of all, like, everybody in the military coming back from World War II and being like, we don't have enough tanks around here. Let's make some joiners.
Or, like, we don't need these tanks anymore.
It's all melted down tanks.
That actually, that would be really cool. I have no need for a 24-inch joiner, but
most people don't. I think 99.9% of the population have no need for a 24-inch joiner.
But having a joiner that literally saw the end of World War II, that'd be a pretty cool story.
If you can make that into like a workbench, that'd be cool. People would be pissed. I'm pretty
sure that jointer did not serve. It dodged a draft.
I don't think that something that big and that heavy could dodge anything. That jointer had bone
spurs. Yeah. Well, speaking of dodging the draft.
What about it?
I was going to try to wrap up the show.
Oh, are we doing that? Okay.
Well, I don't know, because we're an hour and a half in.
How has this been an hour and a half already?
Yeah, I told you it was a bad idea to have him on.
So, Pete, how do you feel just, like, emotionally these days? Like, let's just really get into this deep.
Sorry, I drank a little thing of Coke. I bought these tiny Cokes at WorkbenchCon. I'm still getting through them.
It's healthier because it's just smaller.
Baby.
Yeah, actually, that was my logic.
And then you drank five at once.
If somebody wanted like a Jack and Coke or rum and Coke or whatever, I figured this was a good size.
I appreciate you.
I've gotten these for Dan.
You just want to walk around feeling Andre the Giant.
I got them. Honestly, I did get these because Dan likes bourbon and Cokes.
I do.
Yeah, so I got the Cokes for him. But then you
brought the Jameson Orange and ginger ale. That is a fantastic drink. Let me tell you
That's a good drink. That'll get you in trouble.
Whoa. Did I talk about the Jameson Orange I had at the Workbench Con Hotel? That it was $32? Did I tell you about that?
You ordered a drink at the bar.
At the bar at the hotel, I ordered a double Jameson Orange. Can't talk.
That's a bottle.
A double Jameson Orange with a side of fries and a hamburger. And it was $32!
No. There was no food. It was just the drink. Double Jameson Orange with ginger ale. $32 at that hotel. I was shocked. Shocked.
He was shooketh.
Can I tell you a secret?
What?
I only ordered one drink the entire time at Workbench.
That was the one drink I ordered at the bar.
I ordered just an old fashioned. Actually, it was just straight like bourbon with light ice. And that was the only drink I ordered. I think it was like $12, which was actually not too bad. I would just go up to the room when before we came down, fill my tumbler with bourbon, and like just like a touch of ice, just enough to, you know, let out the dragon, and would come downstairs. And when it was done, I'd be like, hey, I'm calling it a night, guys. Like, I don't know how. Like, the first year, I probably dropped like $300 at that bar easily.
Yep.
If not more.
Yep.
And somehow this year, I literally ordered one drink. I think I probably spent more on my beer at Hop Burger. Morgan Hop Burger or whatever.
I didn't buy a single drink from the hotel bar.
Well, I also got you guys two cases of freaking whatever, the Natty Ice or not, whatever Bush you guys Light. Drink.
You bought two 18 packs of Bush Light, Nick and Braden polished
Bush,
it off in
Bush
one
Latte.
Night.
And I was like, oh, do you guys like do you need me to throw these out? Or like, do you need me to take these? And Nick's like, oh, these are empty. Like, what?
Yeah.
I got them for you 2 days ago. Not even.
Oh, well, then we also, Trevor and I rolled in with a little baby keg and a 30-pack of Coors.
We bought that little keg of
Heineken that you can buy at the store.
I accidentally turned the lobby of the hotel into a fucking frat party. I curse, whatever. Like, into a frat, but like, I just started, I was like, I brought whatever bottles were left over. I'm like, I'm not bringing these back to Jersey. If you guys want some, go ahead. And then like Total Boat came over, they brought over like all of their stuff from their booth. It was a lot.
What's a little worrisome is when we came downstairs.
That's exactly what I was just going
to
bring up.
Leave for our flight. It was on one of those like little baby side tables next to the little single armchairs, and it was pretty much empty. Like,
so
there was like four or five people that were still down there, and they were obliterated.
They were Dan and I. They were Dan and I last year.
Yeah, it was like 4:30 a.m. Lindsay, 5 a.m. I wasn't gonna name any names. I wasn't gonna throw anybody under the bus.
But like at 4 or 5 a.m., Lindsay was down there because she's just always has energy.
She was there,
and we talked about this on a stoop the last week, and she's like, "Yeah, we were actually the staff came over to clean it up in the morning, and we like went to help them out, and they were like, oh, anything that's still like full or half full or whatever, like put it over it. Like if there's a bunch of cans still left, put it over on this table." So they made a table of like stuff to like that can you can still drink. And then at the end they were like, ah, screw it all. And they like threw it all in a trash.
Oh man.
But yeah, there's you weren't gonna fly with it.
No. It's just a bummer to hear that all that good booze went to waste.
Yeah, I don't know if all of it went to waste, but
we as a community, we made a good run.
We put a dent in that. But we definitely, for some reason, the bar probably didn't see the profits they saw last year.
Well, for $32 for one drink, I can't imagine why.
It's a little much.
Anyway.
Anyways, on my bench?
Have I fell asleep? Or did I miss something?
No.
Are we going back to what's,
Dan, what's on your bench?
Why is this? Wait, like hold on. Let me guess.
Dan just checked the time. He actually thought it was. He's like, is it 9:30? What's going on?
So, Dan, tell us about Etsy.
It's a lot of Etsy orders I do. It's a lot of them. So,
I heard you lost something this week.
This feels oddly familiar. I'm very confused.
Your flashback to an hour ago. All right, Dan, take us out of here.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. If you want to help us grow this show, please share it wherever you can. Your stories, your posts, your family, not that
your
show.
Your internet-based chat room.
Your internet-based chat room. Yahoo Messenger. Remember when that was a thing? AOL chat rooms. If you want to help us financially, or if you want to just join the extra fun, go over to patreon.com/anotherwoodshoppodcast and get signed up over there. We'd love to have you join the Met Army. That's all I got.
Also use discount code sawdusttalk at surfrep.com.
Oh my God. For what?
What's on my bench?
Okay. Anyway, it's been fun. Brayden, thank you for joining us. Always a pleasure.
I'm going to bleep that.
Yeah, I'm going to cut that out. It's fine.
Yeah, Brayden, thanks for joining. I know it was last minute. I'm glad you were able to get in here. I hope your wife's not too mad because you just dumped the kids on her last minute.
She was more confused on where I found the second kid.
This one's not ours.
I just came home from the grocery store really fast. I just threw everything in a bag. But yeah, I'm always happy to hang out with my boys.
And also with us. Cool. Well, guys, we have a guest next week. Dan, you want to tell them about our guest?
Our guest next week is going to be Logan Newman of Newman Specials Woodworks. He's grown a lot in the last couple months over on IG. He's had a few things, a few items pop off, and I'll be interested to talk to him about that. So come join us.
Nice. It's going to be a fun one. All right, guys. We'll see y'all next week. Thank you for joining us, and we'll love y'all. Bye-bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye. Love you long time.
Bye.
I am Kate Middleton.